Hello, everybody. Welcome to Soul Up with Kayleen Welsh. I'm Kayleen Welsh, and I'm really glad that you're here. Today is Labor Day, the weekend that really represents the last blast of summer, right? This is like our last opportunity to get out there and enjoy the warmer weather and play with our friends before we all buckle down and get back to routines and work. You can feel the change in the air as we settle into this final phase of the summer season. We had a huge blast of heat last week in Wisconsin, and so now we're feeling it a little differently. The air temperatures have cooled, and we're feeling that shift into long sleeve shirts and hoodies and cooler nights for sleeping, windows open, air conditioners off, and grabbing up another blanket. It's interesting to me to think about Labor Day weekend. You know, we have this nice long weekend for play in recognition of work, labor. That's a Virgo trait for sure. You know, Virgo likes, I don't know if they like, but they're very responsive to chores and responsibilities. You know, things that get produced, things get made into form. They want to see something tangible or something of service come forward as a result. I am a strong Virgo. I have my Sun, Moon, Mercury, Mars, and Pluto all in Virgo. So I know this Virgo energy pretty darn well. I have it, all of these planets, all of these Virgo energy planets are in the 12th house. So that adds an interesting level of opposition and challenge as I sort that all out. But, you know, really when it comes down to that Virgo energy, we just want to make things better. Discernment is another key word for Virgo. Virgo is ruled by Mercury. And so analyzing is one of our best games. We're pretty good at that. And as an earth sign, the energy of Virgo prompts those ideas coming into form. It isn't good with just ideas. It wants to see something practical and earthly come about. So with Virgo energy, we can always see what tasks need to be done. And, you know, sometimes this is a time of year where we fall into shoulds. You know, should can become a prime motivator. I really should do this, and I really should do that, and I've been meaning to do this, so, oh, I really should do that. The problem with that Virgo aspect, though, is that it doesn't take very long for shoulds. I don't know if you get too many of them, they build up into resentment. It's like, or a burden. It like feels like, oh man, I really should do that, but I don't really want to, or I haven't really had time, or do I need to feel guilty about that? So Virgo can fall into some guilt, can fall into martyr or victim stance. So as we settle into Virgo season, we want to like bring forward a higher expression of Virgo, because the unhappy Virgo energy becomes expressed as, it really comes out as bitter, hardened. We hear words around negative, critical, can't see the bright side. And I will say that I work on these things all the time. It's almost like my natural go-to to see what's wrong with things and how it could be done better, you know, myself, my work, everybody around me. And so that's something that I have to work on all the time. And one of the things that's helped me so much on my own personal journey is recognizing, learning that the antidote to an overactive Virgo energy is joy. Joy is the divine energy of Pisces, the divine virtue that is associated with Pisces. So on the natal chart, Virgo and Pisces sit opposite. And they're a big part of what we're going to be talking about with energy coming up as we settle into Virgo season. We have an important Pisces full moon coming up in just a couple of weeks. So Virgo energy, you know, this is what you're working with right now. I guess I think of that expression, you know, we've all heard, you know, that idea that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Well, and I can definitely say that all work and no play makes Kayleen depressed and unhappy. So in these final weeks of the summer season, we are reminded through this fun Labor Day weekend of the importance of both work and play. If we tip too far either way, we find ourselves in difficulty, right? Too much work, we get stressed, burned out, overwhelmed. Too much play, that evokes words like irresponsible, you know, flaky, lazy. Ugh. Finding the balance is our key. You know, we seek the middle path. So for this Labor Day, we play and we celebrate work. As we move into September, we'll settle into the routines of back to school, homework, and healthy habits. Mercury, our messenger of the gods and the ruler of the Virgo archetype, has turned direct just a couple of days ago. Well, I guess about 5 days ago, August 28th. So you may find, or you know, you may have had some information come forth during this retrograde, or an awareness that you had. So you're kind of rethinking some things that happened, or reviewing some pieces of information that had come your way. You may have had something, you know, now that is opening up. You may have had a flash of an idea or a perspective from some information that came forth during this retrograde period. And now as Mercury moves forward, and it'll pick up speed as it gets going a little bit, and it will continue moving forward until it gets back to the place where it started its retrograde on September 11th. And it will actually come back into Virgo. It retrograded back into Leo. So the question really then that it was offering was questions about you, or the information or insight that may be coming to you is likely about you. Something about, you know, your personal expression, the way you present yourself, your personal power. Something about your conscious awareness of you. You know, this will likely continue to emerge as Mercury moves back to its place of original retrograde. It's very active. Mercury is one of those planets, again, that's just very active in a lot of different ways in the skies right now. So we need to pay some attention. So Mercury is very active, and we continue to be inundated with sound bites, right? I'll say from the news, but we can turn that off. I will say also from people around us, things to do, activities. There's just so much going on. And we want to sort through it all carefully. You know, what do we really want to carry forward? We want to let it sit for a little bit. We want to let this new information perk just a little bit more before we respond. Might need a little bit more time for it to become clear, and then you'll be able to choose how you want to respond. And that's what's super important, right? We don't want to just react, we want to respond. And again, there may be a lot of information that's been swirling around you that, you know, you got some new insights on. Now you may be gaining some clarity as things move forward. There's a lot going on in the heavens, in the cosmos. Today, which is September 2nd that I'm recording this, the Sun and Moon meet in Virgo at 11 degrees for their new moon conversation tonight at 8:55 p.m. Central Time. There is just kind of a cool lineup and affirmation in the energy pattern of this new moon as Saturn, voice of reality, retrograde in Pisces, the sign of Christ consciousness, has been prompting the bringing of elevated consciousness into form. It's been doing this for quite a while, and Saturn is supporting Neptune. As Neptune completes its huge cycle of 165 years in Pisces, it's been doing everything it can to spiritualize mankind. The task of the axis between Virgo and Pisces is essentially to bring heaven to earth. Not an easy task, and not one that is, you know, just lip service or dreamy ideas. Virgo likes to make and wants to make things real. It's not valuable if it isn't real, something we can touch and feel. Virgo energy evokes, it really wants us to create something that's usable, helpful, and reliable. So this new moon is very matter-of-factly asking us to do our work, to labor. And what happens when we labor? We give birth to something new. Venus, the energy of beauty, peace, hospitality, relationship, needs, desires, harmony. She's adding her influence to this new moon, and just interestingly enough, she and Mars both have primary placements in these cosmic configurations that are current now and moving forward in the months ahead. We've got both of them standing forward in some very interesting configurations for change. So right now, Venus is at 5 degrees Libra and is conjunct the South Node, opposed the North Node. These nodes of the moon are regarded as points of fate and divine hand. Under this transit, you may find that it's easy to slip into old patterns of behavior around relationship, what you think you need to feel safe and at ease, or maybe even around things like social or gender roles that have been defined, you know, in some form of correctness. These are deeply ingrained cultural patterns, you know, part of the cultural unconscious that is dissolving. So, and as much as we may not like these patterns, they are our comfort zone. They keep everything nice. It's easy to go into our South Node and just kind of hang out there. It's okay. It feels comfortable. We like it there. Those are, you know, change just feels hard. It can feel very impossible to reach for the ideals or the attributes of the North Node. And yet the North Node, opposing Venus, is calling us out, asking us to move beyond the nice girl or nice guy syndrome. You know, we can hang on to those qualities. They're good ones. There's nothing wrong with those qualities. But culturally and familially and functionally, they have slipped too far. In astrology, we can recognize Venus as representing the feminine principle. And we are very clearly being asked whether we like the way women and feminine qualities, not just women, but qualities of the divine feminine, have been held in our society. We are being asked whether we can bring our new awareness of the value of these feminine qualities, compassion, creativity, intuition, collaboration, beauty, magnetism, sensuality. Can we, you know, how do we bring them into this up-leveling identity in a way that balances the over-dominance of the heavy masculine energy? So evidenced over how many hundreds of years or thousands of years in the patriarchy, misogyny, hierarchy, power over. You know, the phrase dog eat dog, that's where we've been. What a horrible expression, right? Where did that even come from? It just feels like it fits right into all that heavy, icky energy. And it's that heavy, icky energy that we're shifting. The divine feminine qualities are emerging to balance out the heavy masculine so that those divine feminine qualities can come forth in all of us, which then, therefore, brings forth healthy feminine and healthy masculine. We can be co-creators in support of each other's, again, the two sides, the two aspects of life needed for creation. The nodes of the moon are essentially evolutionary course corrections, and eclipses occur when the Earth-Sun orbit intersects with one of those two nodes, and this new moon opens the door to eclipse season. So we'll have a lunar eclipse with the moon in Pisces. You know, the sun will still be in Virgo. The moon will be in Pisces on September 17th. And that'll be followed by a solar eclipse on October 2nd, when the sun and moon come together for a new moon in Libra. We are ripe for change. Change is on the horizon. Eclipses, another aspect that is said to be fated. They're, again, like They're like evolutionary course corrections. I've heard eclipses talked about as like a reset button, like we do on our computer, you know, we turn it off for a minute so we can turn it on and, like, you know what, have all of our pieces back in place, somehow have zapped the pram or whatever it is that we do that, like, reorganizes, you know, our basic structure. And that's what eclipses are said to do. They're like a reset point for humanity. Pluto, active for a long time. We've been talking about Pluto every episode lately. But Pluto is wrapping up its unearthing and crumbling of all the lower expressions of these Capricorn systems that we've been caught in for a very long time. Systems, structures, traditions, behaviors. Capricorn energy, when it goes to its dark side, becomes ruthless, rigid, and authoritarian. So Pluto, in its retrograde motion, has moved back into Capricorn for the final time. It's gone back and forth with this, you know, forward, retrograde, forward, for a while now. And so it's going back in for one more experience, one more lesson, one more piece to reveal in Capricorn. Then it will move forward into Aquarius and won't return to Capricorn for another 250 years. So the work that it's been doing here in Capricorn, in this place, has been pretty profound for a period of time. It takes Pluto 248 years to go all the way around. And this retrograde, you know, going back for this third time, is like going back for one more look. What else in there needs some attention? You know, what didn't we address? What Pluto, you know, its energy says, you know, what remains back there that needs to be deconstructed so that it can be reborn? Pluto sees creation and destruction as just two sides of an ongoing process. So when we think about when Pluto was last in Capricorn, 248 years ago, that was 1776, you know, the year America became a country. And on the United, so that's the United States chart. That's the natal chart for the United States, is that the United States is having a Pluto return. And we are definitely in a phase of reconsidering what we stand for as a country. So much is being evidenced in this political arena that we currently find ourselves in the U.S., and yet we also see threads and pieces of it across the globe. Pluto will be on this cleanup duty in Capricorn until it moves into future-oriented, humanitarian-focused sign of Aquarius, where it will stay until 2044. Pluto, along with Uranus and Neptune, are what we call transpersonal planets. They are beyond our ability to see with the naked eye. All three are retrograde right now, along with Saturn, which is the last of the visible or personal planets, kind of the bridge in between. This reiterates the idea that humanity as a whole is being shifted, and it's not a little shift. It's a big, slow-moving, will take some time shift. Uranus went retrograde yesterday, September 1st, where it will continue its inward, you know, that's what these retrograde planets do, is turn us inward for introspection. So it will be working inward until the end of January, January 30th of 2025. Saturn is retrograde. It went retrograde in June, June 29th, and it will go direct again on November 15th. Neptune went retrograde July 2nd, but what's so, you know, so fascinating about Neptune is that it went all the way to 29 degrees 55 minutes of Pisces. And so it's just churning around on these last degrees of Pisces until December 7th. But then we're going to see a repeat of this pattern that we've seen with Pluto, where it goes, you know, back and forth between the connecting signs for a couple of times. So Let's see, I think I put that down here somewhere if I can find my notes, but Neptune has been in Pisces since 2012. And yes, through the early part of 25 and through 25, and I think, you know, even into early 26, I'd have to look up the dates again, I guess, to be sure of these retrogrades. But I am aware that this pattern of back and forth. So it's almost like, you know, it has to also, you know, dip into Aries to kind of like say, okay, who are you people now that I've been spiritualizing you for so long? You know, how are you guys showing up now and what are you doing? Then it's going to go back into Pisces for another look, and then it'll come back into Aries. So we've got some time to really review and reconsider how we're doing here. And these are transitionary periods. These configurations don't just like, you know, well, I guess every once in a while there might be a lightning strike or a zap that changes things completely. But overall, particularly these slower moving planets, their change, and I guess we can look at humanity's evolution, is slow. I'd like to think a bit orderly. But now Pisces is not only completing its time in its home sign, it's, you know, it's been in Pisces, its home sign, since 2012, and it is ending a complete round of the zodiac that began in 1862. At that point in the U.S., we were dealing with civil war and a recognition that all people are equal. We've experienced a lot since then, yet we're not all walking the talk, right? We begin a new round with these heavy planet transfers into new signs. It's like humanity version 300,000, right? Round and round we go, up-leveling as we complete these cycles around our zodiac. They are evolutionary energies. And as we step into our next spiral as a people, I think it's important to ask, you know, who are we now? Who are we? As we've been doing Chiron, the wounded healer, has been in Aries for, I didn't even look this one up to see how long, but for quite a long time, asking us questions and really helping us be aware of our own personal wounds and to do the healing work that's required to reduce their intensity. So we've been doing the healing work on our identity, preparing ourselves for this influx, this up-leveling, this new expression of who we are. So yeah, here's my notes on Neptune. Neptune will dip into Aries in early 2025, bringing support for the new level spiritualized identity it's been prompting in us. It's made the rounds, right, for a long time. All these years of humanity's growth and evolution, helping us to bring forth greater compassion, greater awareness of our place in the universe beyond physicality. We've learned about near-death experiences, bliss moments, the power of meditation and connecting with higher mind. We've made all kinds of discoveries in quantum science and physics. We see over and over again principles of ancient wisdom teachings that now are lining up with our understanding of the universe and how it functions. We've explored over these years all kinds of religious practices that now seem to be expanding beyond their limiting borders of dogma. We can see that over the last years, there's been a lot of shifts in our religious systems and practices. The new spirituality that seems to be emerging is individually experienced and expressed. It becomes an individual piece. The planets right now are dancing around each other in all sorts of wonderful configurations that are supportive, as much as things might feel hard or heavy. Pluto is sextile Neptune, which really offers us an opportunity to unearth the fears and illusions that have been running the show and embrace compassion, imagination, and a greater connection with the transcendent side of life. Pluto also is in positive aspect to Uranus. It's trine Uranus, making it easier to embrace change as we experience these flashes of insight and we're able to get a glimpse of the new world that is possible. This is such an important time for reflection and introspection, as we are the expression of these planetary energies. We are doing huge work right now for the evolution of humanity. It's not fast acting. It won't happen overnight. It's a bigger process of ongoing choices, actions, mindsets, and healing. These powerful cosmic emanations come through each of us in waves of energy that are processed and released in love, care, and positive creation, or emitted in fear, distortion, or destruction. We each contribute. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, so we can create good or not so good. What we do together creates the world that we see around us. A concretized result of humanity's evolutionary history is our fear bias, our fear brain. We needed to focus on danger and survival. You know, when we were, I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, focused on survival, we had to be on alert and on guard. And we have held that worldview for a very long time. You know, one that says that life is hard and cruel and full of suffering. That we have to work hard and look out for ourselves because no one else is going to. It's a dog-eat-dog world. That's a crazy phrase that comes to my mind. We have come to a place where our brain and our overall being habitually anticipate bad. But the thing is, you know, we've learned a lot. You know, over these years of evolution, we've learned a few things. You know, we have evolved to a point where physical survival is still on our mind, but it is no longer a constant threat. We can move beyond the fear base of our limbic brain and engage new understanding of neuroplasticity and our greater capacity as co-creators of our experience. The thing is, we've learned a lot. In all these years, there's some things we've figured out. We have evolved to a point where physical survival is still on our mind, but it is no longer a constant threat. We have learned to express our emotions, although I think that's an area where we still have a lot of work to do. We have much more to do there. But we have learned, for most of us, we're able to manage them. You know, we're able to not let them build to a point where they erupt. Or when they do, we've got tools for how to manage them. You know, I think, again, as a humanity, at least that we are able to manage them so that they show up overall with less frequency and less intensity. As a species, we're not quite as reactive as we have been in the past. And so we've been learning and growing and becoming. But you know what? Change triggers fear. You know, that's the thing that gets tricky about change. It is uncomfortable. It's unsettling and uncertain. We don't know how to, you know, we who like to be in control, you know, we don't always know how to handle it. We don't know what to do, and fear is our normal response. Elizabeth Gilbert, I think she was the writer, wasn't she? Eat, Pray, Love. But I remember, you know, some comments from her writing that talked about fear and how our task is just to get used to it. Fear needs to become our friend. You know, it's part of our system and part of our dual universe. Carolyn Mace, another spiritual teacher, really backed her up when she says that anytime that we go through change, anytime we up-level, anytime that we like try to like rise out of our comfort zone or stretch beyond our norm, that fear is going to come up to stop us. That it really just wants to pull us, like the idea of stretch, but it just snaps us back like a rubber band, right back into status quo. So when change, which we've all been going through for some time now, we've been stirred around in this pot of change for a while. So when change is stirring and life feels uncomfortable, we can either fall into fear and anxiety, you know, this fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, or we can, you know, fall into freedom. You know, we can breathe our way through. We can use our supports. We can do our healing work. We can call on our strengths. We can reach out for community. We can look for the humor. We can call on our faith, our belief that this is, in some crazy way, an ordered universe. When we can fall into freedom, we can make conscious choices that help lift ourselves out of that vibrational heaviness so that we can respond from a place that doesn't perpetuate the fear, but instead holds a place of hope and possibility. These are two different paths, and it really has become time to take the road less traveled. What if we simply embrace good? Can we consider the possibility that what comes next just might be better? You know, we've been around on the planet long enough to recognize that life is full of both challenges and blessings, hardships and joys. What if we started paying a little more attention to the good? I make a joke a lot of the time, and maybe I've even said this on a previous episode. So if you heard me say this before, you probably will even hear it again. But I always make a joke that when they translated, you know, all these spiritual teachings or whatever from the Aramaic or, you know, wherever it all started, that there was a mistake in translation, that the word God just really is a word, it should have been good. And so in my lexicon, the word good equals God. And so what if we just start expecting more good? When we consider ourselves a multidimensional being, we are able to consider all aspects of life, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. As a humanity, developmentally, we have reached a point where we can lift our consciousness into greater transcendental possibility. We are part of an evolving and changing universe. We have become more, and we will continue to become more. And to do so, we need to let go of old patterns that no longer serve us. That is how we mature, you know, shed heavy vibration. That's how we lift and evolve. It's how we rise in consciousness. You know, the truth is, we are alive in a garden of abundance that many have lost sight of. We have been stuck in a hardship viewpoint for eons. And we may have survived, yet how well have we thrived? What if we let go of the anticipation of difficult? I call it anticipatory dread. What if we actually allowed ourselves to think that things can work out for good? What if we could actually create a life that is happier, more peaceful? What if we opened to the concept that life could be easier, that it doesn't have to be hard? It isn't really something that we have to get through and survive so that we can reach some reward in heaven. What if we follow Virgo's plan, which is really all about bringing spirit into form, bringing heaven to earth? What if we actually work with all of this Uranus energy, which is inviting us to actually create a beautiful garden? Heavy-handed Saturn is on board, you know, trying to make the dream real, sustainable, enduring. And as we look at all the threads that tie these processes together, it is interesting to note that Mars, the planet that represents the divine masculine, is also going through a transformational process. Mars moves into Cancer, the sign of empathy and sensitivity, the sign of the mother, the the sign of nurturing and nourishing. Doesn't that sound like a healthier masculine expression? But it's in Cancer. It's moving into Cancer, which is a feminine water sign, on Wednesday, this Wednesday, September 4th. I love the way the universe works, because it's not going to just be there for a short period of time. It's actually getting an extra heavy dose of Cancer infusion, because due to its retrograde motion, it's going to remain in Cancer far longer than it does in a normal transit. The cosmic positioning of these heavenly bodies has been calling us forth since the dawn of time. It's been a while. We are not the same humanity that we've been in the past. We have been building a new identity, a new awareness of our place in the greater web of life. We've been offered time to get clear, and we are invited now deep into our psyche to sort out our values and our needs, and to tap into the eternal wisdom within. As we show up each day, as we live, what we do every day, our actions will demonstrate what we've come to understand. These are processes of inner and outer change that we will see in motion. We will see them emerge in our external world for years to come. It's a pretty powerful time, and such a great opportunity to release the idea of hardship and embrace the idea of that this life is such an adventure. It's a gift. And so here are just a couple of questions to consider as we wrap up this podcast. Journal prompts or just things to ponder. What desires of your heart are worth laboring for? What do you really desire and want to be reborn? What needs to shift in your work-life, work-play balance? How well can you hold happiness? Can you hold happiness? Can you let it in? I found myself in an experience a couple of weeks ago where I just had to sit down and feel it. I was feeling so happy. I don't even remember what the trigger was or what brought it on, but we want to embody these feelings. We want to not just let it be some mental passing thought. Oh, I'm happy. No, happiness is an internal peace. When we can sit and feel it, that's what leads to joy. Joy, the level where healing occurs. There's just so much that we can do vibrationally to shift things. And I guess then the final question becomes, what can you do to bring a little more heaven to earth? Got a couple of reminders for you as we wrap up this episode. There's a Glow Together online community. It's really a supportive community to bring forth the long-stifled qualities of the Divine Feminine. We're trying to have conversations around that. So how do we bring them forward in a way that we can feel safe and heard? So you're welcome to join in on Monday. We do this the second Monday of every month. So the next one is this coming Monday, September 9th at 7 p.m. And I'll post the Zoom link on my webpage. It isn't there yet, so give me a little bit of time. But if you'd like to check that out, it's just, a monthly gathering online on Zoom where we, have some conversation and some sharing. And it's no obligation. You don't sign up or anything. It doesn't cost you anything. You just come on over if you want to. I will also remind you to check out the details for the Women in Spirituality Conference. It's at St. Mary's Campus in Rochester, October 4th, 5th, and 6th. I will be presenting there on the asteroid goddesses of astrology and how they are influencing the shifting tide of feminine and masculine expression. If you want details about that conference, you can find them at womenandspirituality.org. That's and written out, womenandspirituality.org. And, I'm really grateful for you tuning into these Soul Up podcasts, and I'd love to help you understand your own personal astrological blueprint. I think that can be super helpful. So let's take a look at your chart. If you'd like, you can schedule a session for that at www.kayleenwalsh.com. So I'll see you next time. Until then, shine on. Warm, sweet honey.